now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo. I am Pastor Roland, and this is Talk to a Pastor. Now today, let's begin by looking into my email box and also at the records of some of the people that I have had a chance to chat with to see what kind of questions I've had lately. Here's one. Here's a good question. Here's a very good question. What happens if you break a promise to God? What happens if you break a promise to God? A lot of people today, especially young people, well, you've probably heard of the organization called Promise Keepers. You know, the idea of promising to be a good husband and good father and so on, it's not not a bad idea, really. I mean, the idea itself is good. But what happens is you get a lot of young people who are get involved where they are made to promise something. And they're made to promise God something. Now, I'm not saying that if it were something that we came to of ourselves, in other words, if the idea of promising God something were inspired by God himself, you see what I mean? That it would be a beautiful thing. It would be a beautiful thing. But what happens is that we are tempted, we are prodded, we are challenged, see, on the outside to promise God something. And then what happens, well, two things happen. First of all, we do it because we're tempted, we're teased, we're challenged, see, to do it. And we do it to please mom, to please dad, and we think we're pleasing God. But then what happens is that because it's an emotional thing and it's an externally inspired thing and an externally motivated thing, and it's an emotional thing, and later on time passes and we don't have that same commitment anymore, that same feeling, because it wasn't really ours in the first place. We didn't really it wasn't heavenly inspired. It was inspired by somebody on the outside. Some youth leader or somebody or other. See what I mean? So then what happens is that then we break the promise, for example, and then we feel guilty. Now, at this point, see, we have to see, well, what is the guilt for? What is the guilt for? Well, it could have a couple of different causes. One could be that we did something bad, you know, and then we feel guilty before our conscience for having done something bad. Well, that's honest guilt, and, you know, we should feel guilty if we do something bad. But it could be. But the other thing is that the guilt could be for, we think the guilt is for breaking our promise to God, but the guilt actually is for something we never should have promised in the first place. We never should have been tempted, challenged to do such a thing. See? We never should have been challenged. You know, if you look in the Bible, if you see Christ, for example, he said a lot of things. He helped a lot of people, and he gave sermons and parables, and he gave advice to people and talked to them. He was always there talking to the people, wasn't he? Well, do you see situations where he made people promise something? No, he never did. He might say, you know, go and sin no more. Or he might say, show yourself to the, to the rabbi. He healed somebody and he said, go show yourself. But he never told people to promise something. You see what I mean? So all I'm saying is that if somebody gets you all emotional and challenges you to promise something, they themselves are a temptation. And then you will feel guilty for having fallen for the temptation. See? All right. I'll be right back after this important announcement. Most of us react emotionally to pressure. It's not so much the pressure that hurts us, but our emotional reaction. If you would like to learn the secret of remaining calm in the face of pressure, listen to a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at www.commonsensecounseling.org. While you're there, listen to my latest lecture on relationships. It's all in the free download section. That's commonsensecounseling.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. My name is Pastor Roland. I'm talking to you about people who feel guilty for having broken the promise to God. So let me recapitulate. We ought not to be teased or challenged. See, challenge is tease. We're being teased to be bold and to step forward and boldly or emotionally say something. See? And it's not inspired of God. It's inspired by whoever is challenging us on the outside. And that's why we feel guilty later. We feel guilty for having fallen, for having, instead of looking into our own heart and moving at our own, in our own time and space, instead of waiting for God to inspire us and move us ever so gently. Instead, we fall for the crude and clever ploys of someone on the outside. See, that's why we feel guilty. Yes, so there is that's a honest guilt. But see, we misinterpret the guilt. We think the guilt is for being bad or for breaking a promise or blah, something like that. But the truth is, the guilt is before our conscience for having looked to other people. See, instead of looking in our own heart. Okay, so there's that. So I hope. Now, the other thing is that another kind of promise is the kind of promise that people make when they're scared. For example, you know, people do something really foolish and get themselves in a real chocolate mess, and then they say, "Oh, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I'll never smoke again, or I'll never drink again, or I'll never..." See, they say that, don't they? And at the time, they mean it, but the truth of the matter is it's said emotionally, and then later on, very often, they fall back into their old ways. Well, and then they feel guilty. Well, what's the guilt for? Well, the guilt is for seeing their own wrong, seeing their own weakness. See, don't resent seeing it. See, and for having spoken boldly and promising something that we weren't able to keep. But the truth of the matter is, in our fallen condition, ladies and gentlemen, see, we're born in sin. They call that original sin. We're born in sin. We inherit it. We inherit this fallen existence from our parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's what we need salvation from. See, so all we know is sin, and that's all we can do. Sin's sin. See, we fall for lies. We make mistakes. We fail. See? Here comes a moment where we could be patient or we could do the right thing, but what do? We become impatient, we become angry, we hate someone, we resent someone, we judge someone, even our own family. We resent our husband, we resent our kids, when we could have, you know, been patient and not resented, when we could have overlooked. Or here's a moment where we could do the right thing, but instead we go for selfish advantage. Here comes some gossiping friend. Some naughty, gossiping friend. And instead of saying, "Excuse me, I don't want to talk behind another person's back. I'm not interested in your gossip." Instead of saying that, why, we sheepishly go along and laugh sheepishly. So we're weak, see? And selfish. We don't want to offend. We don't want to offend somebody else. See, we'd rather offend God than offend some person. See how that works? All right. So the truth is, we have to see all that. You have to see the truth about yourself and regret what you see, but realize that you can't change yourself. See, that's the other thing. When we see that we're wrong, when we see that we're fallen, when we see that we've failed, then what do? We either escape. We escape into thinking. We escape into the past or the future. We escape into drugs. We escape into work. escape into entertainment and into music. See, we can even escape into religion. See? But finally, if you come face to face and see your own fallen nature, and you don't resent seeing it, you don't resent the truth for showing it to you, you don't resent seeing the truth, you just bear the little bit of pain of seeing the truth about yourself and realize that you can't change yourself, well, you're at the threshold of repentance. You're at the threshold of salvation right there. See? But what do? Well, we resent seeing our failing. And so what do? Then we rush out and compensate. We rush out and do something. We roll up our sleeves and try to save ourselves. So therefore, I hope that helps you a little bit with that question about making promises. I don't think I would make these promises. I think I would just do the best I can and without making promises. And I'd wait on what God has in mind for me instead of rolling up my sleeves and making some kind of promise. This is Pastor Roland. I'm reading some questions that came to me. See, I have a website. It's called mypastorchat.com. And there I have free chat. You know, you can ask a question. And I also have online consultation where you can, receive pastoral counseling. I do both. Right now what I'm doing is I'm sharing with you some questions that I got, some questions that, they are appropriate for free chat to be answered quickly. Okay, here's another question. Why does Jesus send people to hell if he loves them? Why does Jesus send people to hell if he loves them? Well, you hear that question all the time. Various forms of it. You know, why does God allow suffering? You know, why would he send somebody to hell? You know, that sort of thing. Well, the truth is that he doesn't send people to hell. There is going to be a judgment. At the end, there is going to be a judgment at that time. But the main point here is that I want to make is that people, it's not that he sends them to hell, it's that they reject God. See, they reject him, reject Jesus. They reject the truth. And so, and the more we reject the truth, and the more we refuse to admit we're wrong, as life goes by, we become guiltier. Every time we reject truth, we acquire a guilt for that. See? So look at it this way. If you are cruel to someone, you acquire a little bit of guilt before conscience, before the light of truth, you get a little guilt for that. If you're impatient with someone, a little guilt. If you resent someone, a little guilt. If you deny the truth, a little guilt. If you don't want to admit you're wrong, a little guilt. If you're sneaky about with somebody and not honest, forthright with them, you get a little guilt. See? And so on and so forth. Each time you acquire a little guilt before God's light of truth. Well, eventually the day comes when there's the light shining brightly and you still don't want to admit you're wrong. You're still prideful. And so you cannot bear the light. You cannot bear the light, and so you cast yourself away from the light. I'll be right back. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, that's ROLANDTRUJILLO, Box 2-1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282-1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the program. Welcome. Now, here comes another one. Here's another question. I am a proud 18-year-old, and I would like to get a tattoo that is a Bible verse. I think a verse from Isaiah, if I remember correctly. A nice little Bible verse. I'd like to have that tattooed because I'd like to proudly have this Christian Bible verse on my ankle, I think it was. Well, so the question is that okay to do that? Because in the Bible it says we're not supposed to, in the Old Testament it says we're not supposed to get tattoos and so on. Well, here's my answer. This is sort of what I said. First of all, you have a nice 18-year-old young lady, and it's a kind of a sweet notion. It's kind of a sweet thing to want to put a Bible verse as a tattoo. A lot of people have tattoos, so that way, you know, she has one, but it also has a Bible verse. So, you know, that's kind of sweet, and I see it as an innocent thing. But I would say this. I would say that, but she wasn't sure. See, she really wasn't sure. I would say that I probably wouldn't get one, because it's like, you know, once you get a tattoo, well, then it's hard to get it off. You see what I mean? If you don't get one in the first place, then no harm done. See what I mean? But once you get one and then you don't want it anymore, then it's hard to remove it. So it's one of those things that it's not important. See, it's not that important. But if you get one and then later you wish you hadn't, then you know, it's like you see some of these people, too, they have eyebrows, and they have the eyebrows tattooed on. I'm sure you've seen that. Well, the problem with that is you can see what the problem with that is later on. It might not look so good anymore. So I think I would say, why don't you hold off and not get one? You know, you could always, you know, show, proudly be a Christian by just, you know, living a good life, or, you know, not being like everybody else, not gossiping, see, not being promiscuous, see, not watching silly, naughty things, not, you know, smoking marijuana, not drinking, and so on. See, you could be a very proper person, and that would speak out quite boldly, much more boldly than a tattoo would. So, I would say, probably not. You know, is it wrong? Is it a sin? Well, probably not. But, you know, it could be. See, it all kind of depends. It could be if your father, let's say you had a good father, and you asked your father, and father said, no, I don't want you to get them. I don't think it's appropriate. And our bodies are temples, and we oughtn't to be changing them. The way God gave you your body and the way it is fine. So I'd prefer that you didn't. I don't want you to. Now, if the young lady went and disobeyed her father and went against his wishes and had one, well, then, see, that would be wrong then. But if it's just a question of should I get one or not, and her parents don't say anything about it one way or the other, then I'd say, no, it's not wrong, but it's probably not really, really, it's not a wise thing to do. Let's put it that way. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the questions that I've shared with you so far and my little answers. So let's take a little break, and then I'll be back shortly. A
Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by topic in Real Player or Windows Media format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love, and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. My name is Roland. I'm Pastor Roland. This is Talk to a Pastor, a very special program, and I'm a very special person. I've been around for 21 years. I've had a radio program for 21 years. And I'm having fun with these questions. These are not earth-shakingly important, but there are some good lessons to be learned by hearing the answers that I have, the common-sense Christian answers that I provide. See, now you have two extremes. You have the letter of the law, you know, people that are harsh and rigid, and basically what they do is they tempt people to rebel. And then on the other hand, you have the people that are very permissive and encourage us to be wanton and promiscuous and naughty and so on. And that's not good either. See, but somewhere in the middle, there's undoubtedly a proper answer. Now, there are some things, you know, there are some issues where I have to draw a line in the sand and say, no, absolutely not. See, but I can't tell you ahead of time, you know, I guess it would be abortion. We draw a line right there. We draw a line with abortion. You know, that things like that. There are issues where there's, there's not compromise on them. But I go intuitively. I use my intuition. Which is from God, incidentally. God gives us intuition. All right, now here's another question. Here's another question. A lady said, I have a married friend, some guy, and he's having marital difficulties with his wife. And but he's going to stay with her for the sake of the kids. Okay? But he needs to talk to somebody. He needs to talk, and he needs a hug. See? And he wants me, this is the lady speaking, to come over and talk and give him a hug. Or he wants to come over to my place and talk and get a hug. She says, yeah, but wouldn't that be adultery? I don't want to offend him. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I know he's having a hard time. I want to be sympathetic, but I don't feel right about it. So what was my answer? I said, your intuition is correct. I wouldn't do it. No siree. No siree. Besides, if he was he shouldn't be looking to another. He shouldn't be looking to another woman for support. What kind of a man is this? That he goes to look to another woman for support. So he's weak. He's a womanizer. I bet there's no goodness there. I feel sorry for his wife, to be married to such a man. See, it's shameful. So your intuition is correct. Just tell him, no, I'm not going to do it. See? You don't have to be mean. Just say no. It's not appropriate. And then I was going to say, if he persists, then tell his wife. Serves him right. All right. What other questions do we have here? Oh, here's a fellow asked a question. He said, do you know any place I can find God in creation and law? Well, you can find him everywhere. I want to really see God's footprints to prove to myself he was there. Well, yeah, I can see him everywhere. See? But how do I know? See, I wrote an excellent book. It's called Becoming a Friend of God. And I have a chapter in there entitled, How Do I Know There's a God Who Loves Me? Well, it's because I know in my own heart, see? I know in my own heart that God exists, and I know that he's good. And how do I know? Because of my conscience. My conscience is from, and my conscience bothers me if I'm mean, if I'm impatient, if I'm cruel, if I'm sneaky, if I'm gossiping. And that conscience is from God. That's God's inner light. That's how I know what he cares about. I'll be right back.
This is Roland. It's obvious to searching and sensitive people that what we have here is the real deal. We help people find their intuition and become friends with conscience. Helping people awaken to the reality of inner truth and restoring them to the God of conscience is my gift to you. But I must take a moment to ask for help in return. We're in desperate need of someone to sponsor our airtime. It's a miracle that I'm still here after 18 years. But in order to continue, we need help in a big way. We're in special need of someone who can give a large gift of $1,000 or more. If you have been blessed in your life, and especially if you are blessed to be able to hear and respond to truth, then helping us to stay on the air would be a noble way of expressing your gratitude. If you've ever thought of helping us, now is the time to do so. Your gift will make a difference. You will actually be helping others by sponsoring this program and keeping it on the air so that it will be there for people. If you would like to help, make your check payable to Roland Trujillo, 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. To give a gift by credit card, log on to commonsensecounseling.org and click on the donate button. Gifts are not tax deductible, but your reward will be in heaven, as the old saying goes. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed, you have a conscience. That way you know what God cares about. He doesn't care if you spill soup. He doesn't care if you don't shine your shoes. But he cares if you're impatient with your kids, if you resent your husband, if you're sneaky, if you're not honest with somebody. See? He cares about that, if you're impatient with people. See? So you know that he's good, and you know that he cares, because he's right there inside by way of your conscience, intuition, which is from God. Ladies and gentlemen, please go to my website, mypastorchat.com. That's www.mypastorchat.com. And, of course, commonsensecounseling.org. Either place is a wonderful place to go. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, may God bless.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's Roland Trujillo. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.